Today, PGA Director of Instruction, Joe Sievers.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thanks for joining us on Golf Smarter. I wanted to remind you to stay tuned for details on how you can win a free T-Tour DVD. But let's get started with our interview today. It's going to be with the PGA Director of Instruction at TPC Snoqualmie Ridge in Snoqualmie, Washington, Joe Sievers. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Fred. How are you today?
Fine. How you doing?
Doing great.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Thank you. All right. Well, in the times that we've talked off air, we decided that the name of this show is going to be Once You're on the Course, How to Go Low with Joe, Your Pro.
Correct.
So what happens? Let's talk about what you teach at Snoqualmie Ridge.
Well, one of the things that, I've just found that most golf instruction and most people that come to me really have the idea that there's something technically wrong with their swing. And they spend so much effort focusing on one or two particular points in the swing that are quote-unquote wrong or that need work. And really, what would help their game is if they spend a little bit more time and energy focusing on all the other aspects that go on. In other words, if I'm playing with someone I don't particularly like, or I'm following a group that's very slow, and I start to get a little upset or get a little impatient, those types of things are going to increase the chance or the probability that I'm going to have one of my swing faults show up, shall we say. Mm-hmm. So in other words, when people golf, there's so much going on, or there's so many factors that go into it, for you just to focus on one particular part of your swing mechanics isn't going to do you much good, because, like the old saying goes, dance with the gal you brought. You know, if you're swinging out there, you're not going to fix your swing in one swing. You're going to have to find another way to kind of get around or hide that mistake.
And you shouldn't be trying to correct it while you're on the course, should you?
No. When you're playing, you're playing.
Right.
On the range, you can try and fix something.
Now, I can imagine that you have seen thousands of different swings, different players and their swings. And maybe some people will try to mimic one player that they admire. But are there really two swings that are alike? Can you create the perfect swing?
Well, a perfect example of that is, I would say, Charles Howell has one of the best, or what I would call a perfect swing.
Why?
From a technical standpoint.
Okay.
He gets his clubs in all the right positions. He's got he's phenomenally athletic, and yet he hasn't lived up to his potential because he hasn't won much. I mean, he was expected to be a dominant player. I would say Tiger Woods in 2000 probably had a technically perfect swing, but along with that, I mean, he's got phenomenal creativity, mental focus. All those things make him the great player that he is. There are far more. Jim Furyk, perfect example. Guy just, he almost won over the weekend, but he's played well as of late, and nobody would say he's got a good golf swing, but he knows what he does, and he's very good at all the other aspects in terms of self-awareness and managing his game, that he's able to overcome his quote-unquote swing flaws.
So what is it about Charles Howell that is preventing him from reaching his potential? Is it the mental side of the game?
Yeah, and in the mental side, I think we need to kind of be careful when we say mental side, because a lot of times people tend to kind of throw the mental side out there and they don't really differentiate. To me, there's a big difference between your mental side, and I term mental ability in terms of how you think your way around the golf course. Do you play the right shots? Do you play the percentage shots? Do you think your way around very well? And then there's also the emotional aspect of it.
Okay.
And when I talk about emotions, how are you going to deal with somebody who's playing slow? How are you going to deal with yourself when you hit a shot that doesn't work out?
Well, let's focus on the emotional side today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I listen to the Golf Smarter podcast. I know exactly where I'm supposed to hit the ball, but it doesn't go there, and now I'm pissed.
Uh-huh.
Now what?
Now what? different. The big key is, and one of the things, you know, I'm kind of working on is I've got to love my shot. Mm-hmm. And if you give me a shot in any situation where, let's say, for example, I end up in the bunker. Okay, if I'm out just practicing and you drop a ball in the bunker on purpose and try to hit it out, you're not upset, are you?
No, because I did that on purpose.
Because you did that, you just dropped your ball there and you're playing that out. Well, on the golf course, you've got to let that shot go and imagine that's your first shot of the day.
Okay.
You wouldn't be upset with that, or you might, you know, find the what I find most people say, what do you love about golf? Well, I love the challenge of it. Well, you know what? You've got a great challenge right in front of you, right there out of the bunker. How are you going to enjoy that, hitting that shot out of there? And that's the way you've got to look at it. Rather than, you know, Tiger does a pretty good job of getting angry. I mean, people watch him kind of stomp and swear and whatever. But once it's done, and he moves on from it. Right. However, I would say this last Masters, he kind of held on to his anger a little longer than he should have, which is probably why he didn't win.
Well, you know, I will personally cut him some slack. I think he was going through some other things emotionally that may have distracted him.
He was.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you're talking about his father going through some issues, and, you know, how many times do we have a bad day at work or something's going on in our home life, and then we get out to the golf course, and we've only practiced once in the last 2 weeks. And now we're expecting to hit perfect shots. Well, reality is that's not going to happen.
Right.
We're going to hit some imperfect shots, and we've got to enjoy a way or find a way to enjoy getting out of the trouble.
I know that for me, if I hit a ball into the sand, I'm not that angry. What upsets me is when I hit a ball that I think is a great shot. It feels great. It looks great. And then it ends up in the bunker. You know, a good shot with a bad result is what frustrates me more than just a lousy shot.
Right. So you're saying a good swing,
okay,
that ends up being a lousy shot.
Okay, good swing, bad result.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is probably more frustrating for me than just, you know, because I know that I have bad swings.
Right, and you know that's the you're playing on a living, breathing, changing surface with changing conditions all the time. That's part of what you enjoy about golf, being outdoors, being in nature, and that unpredictability of it. And when that happens to me, I think the best thing you do is, all right, the golf course owes me one.
So there's
going to be another time out there where you say make a bad swing and your ball lands on the cart path and bounces out an extra 100 yards and kicks right back on the fairway, or hits a tree that should go out and then bounces back in the fairway.
Ah, the book of bounces.
Exactly. So the golf course has a way of evening itself out. And you're going to get some good breaks, and then there's other days where you're going to, you know, all the breaks aren't going to fall your way. And, you know, I tell everybody I play golf for 6 days a year. There's going to be 6 days a year that I'm going to play well. And I never know what day that's going to be. But there's always that anticipation, especially when I go up to the first tee, that today is going to be one of those days where everything works out perfect.
And when you're in the middle of that round and you know things are going well,
right,
you can't get too excited about it, because then you can think you're going to jinx it. Or I've been through the thought process where I go, oh, my God, I have three pars in a row. I never have four.
Right.
And then my head starts pushing my game away.
Yeah, and really playing golf is all about staying in the present.
Right.
It's not looking ahead. It's not looking behind. It's just enjoying where you are in that moment. I think it's much better to be, if you're aware of that, you know, go ahead and look ahead. But then once you step back, make sure you're only focused on the shot at hand. And it's an old cliche, but everybody says play one shot at a time. But those who play well do play one shot at a time.
And don't worry about your score until you finish your game and total up your card.
Just like, what's his name? Kenny Rogers says, don't count your money when you're sitting at the table.
All right, let's take a short break. We'll come right back, and we'll talk more about the emotional side of the game.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@teetour.com. That's golfsmarter, one word, @teetour.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
All right, we're back with Joe Sievers. And Joe, the way Joe and I got together is that each year I travel with a couple friends and we go on a golf trip. One guy comes in from Chicago. Two of us come from the San Francisco Bay Area. And one comes from Seattle area and is actually a student of Joe's. Now, Joe, I'm only going to use first names here.
Uh-huh.
But Randy's swing drives me nuts. He stands over the ball forever. And then when he lets it go, if you blink, you missed a swing. It's back and go. So I tease him. I
think everybody teases him a little bit.
We love you, Randy.
Yes, but, we do.
But it impacts, I think, the rhythm for me of my game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about when you're out on the course and you've got four guys with differing styles, how to keep yourself from getting emotionally out of control.
Right, falling into that trap.
Yeah, let's talk about the social aspect of playing golf.
Okay, and one of the things that I'm a very visual person, and recognizing that about myself, I'm going to watch somebody or watch a certain part of their swing that I like or that I'm trying to replicate. And in Randy's case, not to pick on Randy too much.
Oh,
but
come on, let's do it.
That would be one where I would, if I'm playing with him, and especially if I'm working on my tempo and want to smooth things out a little bit, I would simply close my eyes right before he swings and not watch his swing at all, but try to follow his ball in flight, those types of things. And when the ball goes where it's supposed to, I would say, nice swing.
Yeah, but you know how long it takes Randy before he pulls the trigger. So if I close my eyes, I may end up taking a nap.
The other thing
I wanted to say is that I know Randy doesn't listen to this program, so we can say whatever we want.
Whatever we want.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
But, there's a perfect example of a guy that I see oftentimes out on the golf course, somebody who's thinking. When you're out there, you've got to be playing. And I've got use what you call a think box, where just much like a batter's box, because he loves baseball, we talk about baseball quite a bit, think all you want outside the box, but once you step up to the ball, you're ready to go.
Okay.
And we're working with him on trying to pull the trigger a little bit sooner. And I think, Nicholas, for instance, loved to play with Sam Snead because he felt his rhythm rubbed off on him.
Mm.
And I'm always searching for a player who's got something to rub off on.
You give him Sergio Garcia?
Yeah. Although Sergio has made, he's made an improvement by getting rid of all those, what I call kind of, he milks the cow, so to speak. He milks that club. He twitches and regrips and regrips and regrips.
Yeah.
you know, much was being made of the U.S. Open, where he was doing that in the last round.
Right.
More and more.
The networks are going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for TV, that's not good.
No.
But even for the rhythm of your group, that's mm-hmm. not necessarily good.
Right. But you're in control of your own destiny, Fred. That's the challenge. It's you have the ability to overcome it or to succumb to what he's doing.
Oh, come on, Joe. I want to blame Randy.
Everybody does. Everybody wants to blame someone else.
Okay.
One of my favorite little games to play, always on the first tee, I have what I call the Tough Guy Award. And the Tough Guy Award is whoever makes the ugliest or the toughest par that day, everybody else has to buy a drink for.
Okay.
At the end of the round, so to speak.
Okay,
so,
I like that.
Yeah, so, and what it's about when you're out there, it isn't so much we all love to hit the perfect drive down the middle, hit it up there to 10 feet, and either make the putt or lip the putt out and have a tap in par. But golf really is about figuring out a way to score from the right rough and then hitting it just short of the green in a bunker and then blasting it out to 20 feet and figuring out a way to snake in the left to right breaker and walk away with a four, which would be the same score.
Right.
As the saying goes, there's no pictures on the scorecard.
Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. You had mentioned to me the social aspect of the game. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, one of the things that makes golf golf and one of the greatest games is you get a chance to really get to know someone. We'll talk about Randy a little bit, you playing with him. One of the things that I would recommend to you do is in between the shots, ask him a few questions. Find out something new about him. Try to take your experience with him rather than dreading the time he's standing over the ball. Look at that as an opportunity for you to come up with another question, to get something, to ask a question so you learn something new about Randy. And try to look at his experience in between the shots to really, really enjoy meeting him as a person, because he is a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And getting that, looking forward to that opportunity as opposed to, oh my gosh, he's standing over the ball for so long. You want to be impatient for him to get the shot over with so you can talk to him some more.
That's really interesting because I know that when I come home from around and my wife's, you know, did you have a nice time? How did you play? They said, you know, did you talk? Did you know? My wife always wants to know, did you have a good talk with that person? And mm-hmm. I find that more time is spent between shots talking about the last shot and what you got to do on the next one than personal or social or business things. And then by the time you're ready to start asking about something other than golf, it's time for the next shot.
Right. And that's one thing you don't want. I mean, what's done is done. And the last thing, like I said, you want to do when you're on the course is try to come up or think about some technical part of your swing.
Mm-hmm.
Once your swing's your swing pretty much for that day. And there's not going to be any swing key that's going to help. It's more some days you've got it, some days you don't. On the days you don't, you're trying to kind of put the bad shots more or less behind you. And I think you're better off just starting fresh each swing as opposed to figuring out everything. And look at, you know, I always start off with the goal of going as low as possible that day.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, by hole 6 or 7, and I've made a double bogey or a triple bogey, or I just don't feel it. Well, maybe I change my goal to getting to know somebody a little bit more. Or today, I'm gonna really work on my trouble shots because I'm getting lots of practice in these situations.
That
makes sense?
Yeah, it does. And there's something that you said a second ago that intrigued me when you talked about your swing is your swing for that day. And so
mm-hmm.
you got to play with that, you know, who you brought to the dance. But when you're warming up, you have enough time to hit a bucket Then you get to go out to the putting green, and you practice your putting for a bit. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between warming up and practicing on what you should be able to try to accomplish?
Very, very much so.
Really?
If I'm getting ready to play, my warming up is more or less I'm hitting a few balls, I'm trying to get loose, and I'm paying attention to what the ball's doing that day. Some days it draws more, some days it goes straighter, some days it goes higher or lower, whatever. And I'm more paying attention to what's going on that day. And rather than fight it, accept what it's doing and that tendency to do, and then play for that on the course.
Work
you
with
know,
it.
If I get people all the time that who slice the ball,
right?
Well, then they step up on the course. They aim directly at their target, and the ball keeps going right. Why not just aim left and play that shot that day? There's going to be the occasional one that's going to go straight, but you're going to be better off playing the odds. And when I'm practicing, that's what I'm working on after the round. Which most people don't do. Everybody usually hits the 19th hole or they zip on home, but the time to really practice is after the round. That's when you want to work on, okay, now my ball's slicing, now how can I straighten it out? But before the round, you're just kind of more or less hitting a few shots, noticing how much the ball curves to the right. Some days it's more, some days it's less. So many people, when they play, they're fighting their swing, they're fighting themselves. And it's not so much about Fred Couples is a perfect example. There's a guy who's easy, laid back. He knows that his ball, he plays a little fade with his ball, which is fine. He doesn't try to hit it straight. He plays a little cut shot, and away he goes, and just kind of he accepts that. And nobody's more laid back than Fred.
We like that.
Yeah.
Oh, and to our to both of our listeners, I'm kidding. Joe, we definitely have more than two, four. Well, because Randy's going to listen this week, we might have five. I just wanted to say that we're not talking about TPC Snoqualmie Ridge today because it's a private course. But there is one question I do want to ask you about your course, and this is a question that I like to ask everybody that I'm interviewing for this program, and that is, what shot do I need to practice to play TPC Snoqualmie Ridge? What do I need to have in my bag?
Well, we have over 130 bunkers. And so, obviously, getting out of the sand would be a great shot to have. But I do think we're definitely a second-shot course, meaning fairways are fairly generous. It's around the greens that get a little that get tough. You're going to miss a few greens out here. I definitely think you need a lob wedge to play this course. And there's a lot of the little flop shot, whether it be out of a bunker or around the green, is definitely one you need to play here. It's a typical Nicklaus course. He likes that target golf, throw the ball up high, and land her soft.
And give me a technical piece of advice about using a lob wedge, please.
The biggest mistake that I think most people make in using a lob wedge is they open up the club face. Bunker shots, kind of same thing. Everybody's taught, you know, aim your feet way left, open your club face way open to the right, hit a couple inches behind the ball, or, you want to really get under it, those types of things.
Right.
A lob wedge has plenty of loft. Just line up square, keep the club face square, and just take a short swing. In other words, control your distance by the length of your swing, as opposed to trying to get real creative with your setup, making a long swing and trying to do some funky things. Your lob wedge has enough loft. Hit it up on the green. If you're in a position, say, you're 10 feet off the green and the flag is 5 feet on the green and you got to fly it over a bunker, except the fact you're going to have a 10 to 15 footer coming back. Trying to throw it way up in the air isn't worth the risk. Unless, of course, you've got, 2 hours a day to practice that shot, which most of us don't. get the ball on the green, try and make a long putt, and then get out of there.
That's fabulous. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
And again, that's Joe Sievers, who's the PGA Director of Instruction at TPC Snoqualmie Ridge in Snoqualmie, Washington. Joe, thanks.
Thank you, Fred, and look forward to seeing some of your listeners, all two to four of them.
Well, you've already got half of them there. No, I'm kidding. We have more than that. Actually, our audience is growing on a regular basis, and iTunes seems to like us, or at least they tell us people are downloading it, so we love that. And regular listeners to the Golf Smarter podcast have heard me talk many times about the T-Tour video productions that we do. And we have some exciting news. This month, we're giving away a T-Tour DVD featuring the course at Wente Vineyards, hosted by Chris Conway, director of golf. And we did a podcast about that golf course just a couple weeks ago. So we're going to have a random drawing from our entrants. So all you need to do to enter is send an email to golfsmarter@teetour.com, T-E-E-T-O-U-R, golfsmarter@teetour.com. And in the subject line of your email, put the word contest. And the winner will be announced in our first podcast during May. So please get your entries in and start a little dialogue with me. I would appreciate that. And again, thanks for listening. Don't forget, you always play better when you're golf smarter. I'm Fred Green.